Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us this evening. We have a great show lined up with some fabulous guests. But first, we have to introduce the co-host of the program, freshly back from his trip to Minnesota, covering the big game and all that went with it. From Minnesota, Mr. Keith Grohler. Keith?
Wearing my Eagle green. I have a little pin. A
nice little pin there.
My wife put on me that I didn't really want to wear, but she put it on me anyway.
Yeah, you've turned into an Eagles homer in 2 weeks. That's amazing.
I skipped the parade for you. I could have been with a
I think our guests here are better than Eagles fans, actually.
Well, hey, I mean, this is where it's at for me. And people thought I was crazy that I went right out after getting off the plane. And then going right to a Northwestern Caddy basketball game, I said, "This is good. I know where my bread is buttered. It's in the valley here."
We were beginning to worry about you becoming big time with all these interviews with Michelle Tafoya. And
you never have to worry about that.
In-depth stories on how to bake tater tots. That was really informative journalism.
I appreciate you reading all that stuff.
You were reading
good.
All of your stuff on the morning call. You and Nick and everyone out there did a great job.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. There's another person on the phone who has some opinions about the big game and the Eagles' victory, too. And he wants to pick your brain about your experience. And also, I think he has a few interesting tidbits of his own, and that's RCN's own Tony Coca, who is also the new president of the National Football Foundation, the local chapter here in the Lehigh Valley. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here, guys. Go Eagles, right? Great Super Bowl, Keith.
Oh, you can't say that word, though. You can't say that word because they're trademarked by the NFL. Roger Goodell is going to charge us for that.
I'll tell you what, it was good to see somebody have a high school mentality and run some high school plays in there and just put a little excitement into the NFL drab play calling in the NFL.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Tony, because as that game was ending, I'm getting a text, and you know he's going through a tough time right now, and our hearts and prayers go to Rob Mulaski, the head coach of Pocono Mountain East, and a good friend of yours and a friend of the National Football Foundation. But he was saying that we ran that same play at Nazareth a couple of years ago, and I'm sure everybody around here has run that type of play at some point or another. It was a big deal because we don't see it in the NFL, but maybe you've run it a few times in your coaching career.
No, we ran a few things, and Bob Stem was the master of that. But then I was talking to Phil Stambaugh on Monday when we had our chapter meeting, and he says, hey, that's in our playbook too. So it's good to see that the NFL dips into the high school playbook every now and then. And then Chris Collinsworth thinks they're all geniuses.
Yeah, we were just talking about Collinsworth, as a matter of fact. But your impressions of the Eagles season, I know a lot of Eagles fans, as soon as Carson Wentz got hurt, a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon or started looking to next year when Wentz came back. But your thoughts about the magical run for the Eagles through the playoffs and then that great big game victory?
One of the things that I think, and I don't think the position coaches aren't getting enough credit for all this stuff. I know the head coach is always, he's always going to get the credit. He's always going to get the blame. But the position coaches this year have done a tremendous job. And I think you take a look at Philippia and you take a look at Reich and you say, okay, the head coach can't do everything. And I think if you take Frank Reich and you take the Philippia guy and you say, hey, let's make these guys better. I think that's there's no question about that. And the guy that I think is not getting any credit is Stoutland, the offensive line coach with the Eagles. I thought the offensive line did a tremendous job. When you take a look at Nick Foles, and Nick Foles sat back in the pocket, he wasn't even touched. I mean, there's no question about it that he had all day to throw the ball. He had, and you know, if you give any quarterback in the NFL with the skills that these guys have, you give them that time, and they're going to pick you apart. But being an Eagles fan, it's like, hey, go green, go Eagles, and the whole bit like that. But I was very, very happy. And again, I think the not getting enough credit is the position coaches, and those guys, they work in obscurity the whole time, but they're really working. They're working hard the whole time. That's what Tony Coke ism. So it is what it is, guys. Go Eagles.
I knew you. Hey, and I agree with you, though. I mean, the line play was the difference. Their defensive line didn't really get to Brady until the very end. But people ask me all the time, well, you know, because I'm a Rams fan. Well, what's the difference between the Nick Foles with the Rams and the Nick Foles that came in here to replace Carson Wentz, and this Nick Foles could stand upright. The other Carson Wentz was on his Nick Foles was on his butt all the time when he was with that pathetic offensive line in St. Louis a couple years ago. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we saw what he could do with Chip Kelly. You know, if he has time to throw, he could play well, and he certainly played well down the stretch, better than most people thought he ever would.
No question about it. I think one of the things, it's just, you know, Jeff Fisher, as much as he's a great football coach, and he's obviously anybody coached in the NFL is a fantastic football coach, but, you know, you have to say, okay, what was his, Jeff Fisher was a defensive guy. So, you know, when you talk about offense, the head coach got to know everything. Let's put it this way. So he's the guy that's going to have to sort of say, this is my system. Here's what I want to do. And I'm not a big proponent of Jeff Fisher as far as an offensive genius. I mean, defensively, yes. But so when you're that way, the difference is that his scheme. So he's saying to his offensive line coach, okay, here's my playbook. Here's what I want to run, whether it's zone blocking, whether it's man blocking, whether it's rule blocking, whatever they're going to block at that level. I think that's a major difference. So when you take a look at a Nick Foles with Los Angeles or with even with Kansas City not getting a chance, I think what happens a lot of times is that these guys, it's the position coaches keeping them upright. And I think Stoutland, he proved it at Alabama when he coached with Nick Saban. And I think he proved it here with Chip Kelly, even though I'm not a big Chip Kelly fan. He proved it with him. And obviously now he's done a great job with the Eagles offensive line. I thought the offensive line play, and I look at the football game a lot different than most people do. I'm watching the offensive line, and I'm saying to my wife, I said, they're unbelievable what they're doing. The blitzes, they're not getting to Foles, they're keeping them upright, et cetera, et cetera. So I know I don't have much time here, guys, but that's the way I looked at it. I mean, even when I was watching Oklahoma in the national championship game, and I'm thinking to myself, or in the playoff game, and I'm looking at Oklahoma's big right tackle who's projected as a first-round draft pick, I said, he doesn't have a good kick step. He doesn't have a 90-degree. He doesn't have a 45-degree. I'm just like, okay, this guy, who's coaching this kid? Because his kick step is not NFL worthy of kick steps to set up those rushers that come from the end. But different time, different story, guys.
Tony, I know that we talk about the Eagles all night, but perfect timing, in a sense, for the National Football Foundation Lehigh Valley chapter. You have an Eagle. And anybody who's ever played for the Eagles is going to be a big draw right now. You got David Akers coming in. It's a big weekend for basketball. It's the District 11 Championship weekend. We're going to talk basketball the rest of the show here. But I know that Sunday night, after I cover probably championship games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I know I'm headed to the Northampton Community Center. It's always a wonderful night. Tell us about this year's banquet. I know, as the president, and we're going to miss Robbie. We hope he gets back there and does his thing next year again. But I know it's going to be a little bit different without Ed Waddell and, of course, Robbie there this year.
Yeah, everybody's been telling me that I got to shut my mouth and not talk that much when I get up there, unlike Ed. But we have David Akers is our keynote speaker. He's going to be speaking at the college at the National Football Foundation Scholar Athlete Banquet that Sunday night. It's on March the 4th. The banquet starts at 4:30. Dave Akers will be speaking after the dinner. Obviously, we have a tremendous group of young men that are going into the Scholar Athlete. It's always good to go through these resumes and take a look at it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm on the committee to help select the Scholar Athlete. I have no clue who he is. I just know that when I look at the numbers, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, this kid is just another one of the people that we can be proud of here in the Valley. So to put the word out there to the people that want to buy tickets, they can just contact me, Tony Coca. My telephone number is 610-437-4649. And tickets are $30 for the evening. It is Sunday, March the 4th. Festivities start at 4:30. The dinner should be done somewhere around 9 o'clock. It's a worthy cause for the people that want to come and to listen to David Akers talk. I'm pretty sure he has some great stories to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid, because he was there during Andy Reid's regime. And we're really excited that we got David Akers to be our keynote speaker this year.
Well, David's a great guest. I had he was on the radio show. He's I was involved with another event or two that he's been at, and he's a very good speaker. And this was even before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so I'm sure he's going to have even more great stories to tell. But it is a great night. Look, and I'm pumped up for the basketball. We're getting into the league tournaments this weekend, followed by the districts, and I'm hoping that somebody can make a state run at it. But that's to me, like the Oscars of local football. And you talk about great kids who work hard. That's what it's all about, and it is one of my favorite nights.
No question about it, Keith, and we're really excited about taking this. It's a shame that Ed Watto couldn't finish out this particular season, and I just happened to pull the right card out of the deck, and they said, Tony, you're taking over. And I'm like, okay. But there's a lot of guys putting a lot of time and effort into this banquet. And again, it's always going to be a first-class operation. We hope to see some of the public come out there and sort of come out there and buy the tickets and just listen to David Akers in his speech and listen to the other people. They have a lot of things to say. I mean, it's just a great night, Keith. You've been there, and we thank you all the time for your help and everything that you do for the local high school football, college basketball scene, the local people, Keith. You do a tremendous job, and you earn that trip out to Minneapolis, even though, unfortunately, you got Minneapolis this year. You couldn't get Atlanta next year where it's a little bit warmer.
It was still a great thrill, and I do appreciate you saying that. But you do a great job as well, and look forward to being there, as always, on March the 4th. And like I said, it's one of my favorite nights of the year. And I know, you know, Whitehall's done quite well. They won it last year again with Buzz Kirk, and we'll see if we can get whoever wins, it's going to be a great candidate. We know that.
No question. And, Chris, I appreciate the time that RCN has given me to sort of push this a little bit. We appreciate that with the because our budgets don't have the we can't put the ads in the paper that we used to have. So, guys, thanks a lot for having me on the air. And anytime you want to talk football, you know me, I could do your whole hour show.
If you're available Sunday morning, I could use you Sunday morning if you want to talk about the banquet again. I'd love to have you on my show on Sunday morning.
Sure, gladly. Just send me some details tomorrow, Keith, okay?
You got it, my friend.
All right. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Have a great one.
We'll probably see you in April with some of this year's Hall of Fame class inductees, too. We'll touch base with you
in
a few weeks about that.
It is a great organization.
All right, another great organization here in terms of high school basketball is joining us for the rest of the program. They have been on a phenomenal run, not just this year, but for the last 5 years, they've dominated the Colonial League. And hopefully the district playoffs and beyond this year. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Bangor Slaters, Mr. Bron Holland, and joining us for the first two segments of our program, Ben Holland and Bo Myers. Gentlemen, thanks for coming here and talk a little bit about your season that's been phenomenal this year, even by your own standards. 17-0, I think only two games decided by single digits this year. What's it been like for you guys?
That's been great. You know, first of all, Keith still have, you can't see this at home, but underneath he still has on his hunting socks, his wool socks, his flannel
pants. He did complain about the cold when he called in last week.
He still has the chills over here, but I do thank him for not going to parade today. He got bumped by Eskin on the last float, so we appreciate him, and we all enjoyed his coverage in Minneapolis, but we're happy to be here. Certainly we've had some success the last 4 or 5 years because of guys like we have here in the studio tonight, and I've been real fortunate to coach a good group of kids.
Yeah. Bowen, Ben, what has this year been like for you guys?
Yeah. Just more people stepping up, and that's really it.
Now, Keith, last year renamed the Colonial League playoffs the Bangor Slater Invitational, too. So I don't know if he wants to jinx you again this year, but you guys
didn't jinx them last year.
No, you didn't. They've been looking good. As I said, 4 of the last 5 years have been Colonial League champions. What's it like? You've had the target on your back now for a couple of years. You guys know teams are out to get you. Even teams, if they get a win against you, that in some cases that makes their season. So what's it been like the last couple of years now having extra pressure for every game?
Well, we know that every team's going to give us their best shot, and every game is going to be tough for us. And we just take it game by game, and it's working out pretty good so far.
Yeah. Hey, Ben's been a part of this for the last 3 years, so he knows what it's like. And we do get every team's best shot, which is good for us because our kids have sort of embraced that role. And fortunately for us, we haven't had too many games where we've you know, had bad games. And
who taught Ben to shoot the threes last year, by the way?
That was me.
That was you? Okay. Yeah.
When
I don't even know his father is. I mean, he's a two-guard, for God's sakes. Usually I'm sitting on the show with Joe Arndt, and everybody said, you know, you guys are brothers. Tonight I get to sit by Keith, which is...
I feel good about that, actually.
I just remember the game he had last year against Freedom, because in the Colonial League, everyone knew what a great shooter he was. But when you get those crossover games and you can put a performance like that, do you like getting the chance to play the bigger schools and the EPC schools?
Yeah, it's a good test for us just because, obviously, the EPC schools are a little better than Colonial League teams. So it just shows us where we are and what we need to work on to get better.
You know, we experienced that all today. I didn't in person, but on TV. Great, great parade. You know, great support of this team, which is the number one popular team in the region. But on a smaller scale, on the high school scale, I think there's always something special. You know, I was going to talk about this. When that small town team rises up, it's the Hoosiers movie come to life. You've had that a few times, where everybody, you know, and I've covered your softball team, win some great games and win championships and so forth. It's something special about that town, and you know, I would say that before you got there, and certainly after Coach Pencil left, there was a long gap where I never visited Bangor. All due respect, nice place to visit, but I've been up there a lot in the last couple of years since you've been there. You got this thing rolling, but it's a great community thing, and now it's, I think there's a sense of pride now to be a Bangor Slater that you had. And maybe was lost for a little bit of time there. You got it back. And I'm telling you, the parade I do want to see is a Bangor parade. Or look, at any small town, because that's what it's all about. To me, that's what it's all about, what high school sports are all about. When a whole community gets behind a team and really supports their team and gets behind the kids, and that's what it's all about. That was great today. But look, I want to see what, and I mean that. I mean, you have a special thing going up there, right, Ron?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were going to come close in softball season. Our girls were phenomenal. We made it to the state semis, and you know, we were really hoping we'd make it to Penn State. And Coach Kessler and the girls just did a phenomenal job. And as Keith alluded to, you know, every game, just more and more people from Bangor went, and the support that they give our kids is phenomenal. I mean, Keith was there earlier in the season, for a home game, and our choir crew does a great job. We have a pep band, and they really get behind the kids. And everybody asked me why I came back to coach and teach, and now I'm the athletic director. So I do try to pass along those traditions that I was privileged to be a part of, and it's rewarding to see the kids get to experience the successes that, you know, many before them have had.
Well, a couple years ago, you played Parkland in the District 11 championship game. It was the 4A at that time. And you packed, obviously, Allen's not the biggest gym in the area, but you did, it really, that was a great, great crowd. Obviously, it's easy for Parkland to show up there right up the road there. But I think it was 50-50 that night, Bangor to Parkland. You brought a ton of people down, and that's... That shows the support that you do have from that community, which is kind of spread out too a little bit. The school's in one spot. As I know, I got lost the one night trying to cover a Bangor football game. I turned the wrong way. But, you know, you do have a great community up there. And I hope they are there win or lose, but when you're winning, they really come out in strong numbers, and that Bangor pride really rekindles.
Yeah, they're the best. I mean, this year... our Bangor-Panargil football game was an example of that. We had it on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and the place was packed. We had an ESPN set with the quarry crew, and we won. It was the first time we beat Panargil at home in a long time, and it was just, you could just, it was one of the greatest days since I've been the athletic director, just to see the community, the kids, and our football team have success. So hopefully we can keep it rolling in all the sports.
What's the student's body been like the last few years? Because I remember when Mike Martino was coming up and he was just a freshman, it was like trying to change that culture and trying to convince everyone that you guys were legitimate, not just that year, but you were building the program and taking it to a new level. You guys have come into this system and you've carried this tradition. So are your students or your friends all used to seeing you win and winning championships and posting up big victories all year long?
Yeah, I think a lot of the kids in school, like, they get excited to come watch us play. Mm-hmm. And they're always telling us, like, that they're coming and, like, coming to support.
Ben, how about you?
Yeah, similar. A lot of people, like, they always text me and, like, asking where the game is or what time. And, I mean, they always tell me they love coming to watch us play just because, like, all the dunks and just the way we play, they really love watching it, so...
Who leads the team in dunks, by the way?
Not these two guys.
We might have him on a little
bit. Yeah, he's coming up later.
Your season, you begin with a loss to Easton. And I thought that was maybe a good lesson for your guys.
That was my fault, by the way. I picked you guys to win in his poll. That's why you guys lost.
I forgot who I picked. Did I pick?
I think you picked Easton.
I thought it. I can't remember. Anyway, you lose that game, and then you go on this long, long winning streak. And then, I guess, while I was in Minnesota, you stubbed your toe against Stroudsburg. Maybe that was maybe a good lesson, too, because you came back strong. And sometimes you can get into some great habits, but maybe some of you can win with bad habits. And I don't know if that was the case here, but that might have been a good, maybe that was just the kick in the pants you might need going into this league tournament.
Yeah, this group this year is different than the ones we've had in the past where, the guys, like last year's team, were playing together since second grade. This group's different. We have guys that haven't been playing together that much. And, the Easton game certainly was an eye-opener because we thought we were a lot better than what we were at that time. And
it's a good team. Yeah.
And they're
it's
a good team.
Good team
Ben does a great job with those guys. And you know, it's easy to get caught up when you're, I think you mentioned, the only game we lost this year in the Colonial League was less than 9 points, or margin of victory, I should say. So I think the kids and the coaches do need a little, reminder sometimes that, hey, everybody's beatable and you got to stick to what got you there. And this group several times this year has forgotten that, but certainly I hope that going into the playoffs that they remember, the things that made us successful.
Yeah. Do you think that Stroudsburg loss will help you guys? I know we were talking about it before the show out in the hallway here, and you guys were saying, we're not sure what happened that game, but have you kind of figured that out, or do you think you can learn from that?
Yeah, with Ben Hurt, we have a freshman now starting. He's pretty good putting us on offenses and just –
Yeah, the problem with that game was Ben was his first game not playing, and we had about 11 guys trying to play point guard that night. So we scored, I think, 5 points in the second 14 minutes of the second half. So, yeah, that wasn't good. But we found out who our point guards are not, which was beneficial that night.
When they get these guys' thoughts on the league itself this year, it was kind of an interesting year, I thought, in the Colonial League, a little bit of a transition year. It seemed like some of the perennial teams that are usually playoff teams, like Saucon Valley, like Salisbury, they didn't make it. And yet, some teams like Northern Lehigh, Northwestern, Palmerton. Miranda Academy was a playoff team last year, but certainly won the division. I don't know, a lot of people, I certainly wasn't one that predicted them to win that division. But your thoughts on the changing Colonial League and the fact that you have to come to play every night, because people, let's face it, when you beat Bangor now, it's a big deal and it can make somebody's season. Your thoughts on being ready for those challenges?
Yeah, it's been different than recently. I know there's been a lot of upsets in the Colonial League. And like I said before, we're always getting everybody's best shot. So every game's going to be a tough game and we just have to work through it.
I tell these guys all the time, people aren't excited to see us win. So it's phenomenal that Northern Lehigh's back to the success that they've had. Northwestern and Lehigh, and it's disappointing that Salisbury's always seem to play them in the playoffs, have great games, but it's great to see for our league that other teams having some success this year.
By the way, Keith, did you pick Southern Lehigh to win the division? What was your prediction?
Thank you for bringing that up.
I heard a rumor they don't like you all of a sudden.
They're not overly fond of me right now, I don't think. But Ben Tanis is a good guy, and, again, he works hard. And Southern Lehigh did make it. I don't think they predicted them to make it, but they're in. Mm-hmm. And just so
good
you guys,
team. That's a good team.
I'm going to go over the schedule, but we are going to have two games on Saturday. Wilson's going to be playing Caddy. Now, we don't know the site, it's depending on what's going on tonight between Wilson and Notre Dame, but we do know that one of the matchups will be Southern Lehigh traveling to Notre Dame. That'll be a night game Saturday night. Then we have the semifinals on Tuesday, the way it looks, and of course the championship game on Friday. And I think Tommy Moll said either Freedom or Easton, whatever the EPC is not using, that will be the venue for the Colonial League championship game.
All right, we're going to pick Bron Holland's brain and talk a little bit more about the Colonial League, his season, and the road coming up, which will hopefully go several weeks for the Bangor basketball team. Ben Holland and Bo Myers will be back for our next segment, and then some more special guests will be joining us a little bit later in the program. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guests, Ron Holland and members of the Bangor Boys basketball team. Another phenomenal season in the Colonial League regular season with the playoffs coming up. We're joined this segment again by Ben Holland and Bo Myers with some more players coming up in just a few minutes. I always like asking this question on the air when we're on live television because of the different reactions when I ask father and son playing together, coaching together. Some coaches and players over the years says, yeah, it was great. It was a dream come true. It was really special to have this. Other coaches, fathers and sons, say that it was the worst 4 years of my life. We didn't eat dinner together for the entire season. Honestly, what was it like? First coach, and then we'll hear from Ben.
Well, I'm glad my older son's not here to answer that question.
He
might have a little different response than Ben. But, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's certainly, you know, anytime you can spend quality time with your kids, mm-hmm. taking them to school, and in practice and in games, it's you can't put a value on that. But I think it's more difficult on my kids than it is me, because the expectations are high. And you know, as a coach, Mr. Pencil told me long ago, you're either going to be too easy or too hard on your own kids. And of course, I'm way too hard on them. And you know, the one game this year, I was saying some things to Ben that I wouldn't be allowed to say to other kids. and I looked at the box score after the game, and he had 28 points, I think, that game. So, you know, I enjoy it. There's certainly times when we try not to carry it over into the house.
Yeah.
But there is times this year where I came out of the locker room, and he wasn't riding home with me. And, you know, I get home, and I'm sitting there with the two dogs, and nobody's talking to me. And, you know, having a frozen turkey pot pie by myself. But, you know, overall, I enjoy it. You know, I don't know.
Ben had some big smiles when you were saying those stories. So what's the real story like from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something special. I mean, there's good times and bad times. It's definitely something I would I'm just truly blessed to have. And, yeah.
You know, I've noticed, too, over the years, when you talk to the players, they have a lot of respect, and they want to talk about the community being supportive. We were talking about that before we came on the air. Bo, do you feel proud of the Bangor area? It seems like you guys, and along with the other sports programs, the softball team, the baseball team, and other sports that have had success over the years, you're really proud of the success that you're having in Bangor right now.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of good student athletes at our school.
And Bo's mom and dad both graduates of Bangor, Bangor. I'm sure he wants to talk about.
I want to talk about football because I was a good luck charm for somebody, yeah, besides the Eagles. I was there when they beat Wilson, late season game. But did I interview you after that game?
No, I think you interviewed Garrett.
The running back, yeah. But Bangor, I don't want to put him on the spot here. Bangor's been so good, and I know we do a baseball award show. Your baseball team won the league 2 years ago. Basketball's obviously very good. What's it going to take to get that thing turned around on the football field?
A lot more leadership, more kids stepping up, younger classmen, especially this year, younger mm-hmm. classmen stepping up.
Do you see that happening going forward? I think talking to Garrett after that Wilson game, he thought it could be a good step because you were going to play, I think, Penn Argyle the next week. And you know, finish the thing strong and then take it into 2018. Do you think you see that's going to happen? Because that's the one sport right now when we think of some of the more marquee sports. I think girls' basketball has been pretty mm-hmm. good. So, you know, if you get that thing turned around, but it can happen. And I know that Coach Toth, you know, he was optimistic, I know, talking to him before the season, and even toward the end he was pretty upbeat.
Yeah, we were happy. We made it to the Eastern Conference Championship against Northwestern. They beat us 14-0 earlier in the season. We came back and beat them. I don't know what the score was.
That's right. You had an additional game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
right. That's a nice stepping stone for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you guys are going to keep working hard and you're going to be even better this year. Now, that's a very competitive league. Obviously, Southern Lehigh is strong in that league, mm-hmm. and Saucon's been good, and Notre Dame's good. It's a tough. It's tough to make headway in the Colonial League in football, but you guys have the ability to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. Bangor's a lot like Penn State. It's always been, Keith knows this, a football town. Even with the success, it's football town, and we need to make that successful. And I think we have the pieces. I know we have the pieces in place to do that. Coach Toth has a great staff, and you know, we're coming off a successful season, and mm-hmm. our numbers have been up, and so I'm really excited. You know, once we turn that around, then I can stop hearing that I'm not letting any of the athletes play football, just basketball. So I look forward to that day.
But real quick, you mentioned the girls' basketball team. They've had, you know, a couple nice years in a row. They have expanded formats. There's teams that don't have wins that get in the playoffs. Last year, the Bangor girls basketball team was, what, 24-1 and didn't get in? Does that annoy you a little bit? I know there's no perfect system out there, and you know some classifications have more schools, so that's why more teams can get in. But at 5A, there's only one team can get in, and Southern Lehigh has been very good for a couple years now. But is that a little frustrating right now to have that much success
to the state tournament?
Yeah,
it is what it is. When we took over, we always said, you know, we couldn't compete with some of the teams that we played, and you know, you either complain about it or you pick up your program so that you do make it. So I'm not big on the complaining part. I mean, certainly, you know, we'd like to get as many teams in as possible, but you know, it is what it is.
How do you like the current six classification setup? Now, you went from, you were the 4A when there were four, and a lot of sports, I guess, not all of them, and now you're in 5A in most, right?
I love it that we don't have to play Parkland every year in Emmaus. And, you know, although we got to the point where, you know, we beat Pocono Mountain West, we got to the district 6A final. But certainly, you know, I think we're more compatible to the teams we're playing now, the Whitehalls, the Centrals. Certainly not going to be easy. Central Catholic's very good, and Pottsville, Blue Mountain. But I think it's a little more of an even playing field for us.
Yeah. I wanted to get your thoughts and Bo and Ben before they leave here. Central Catholic, I don't want to put too much ahead of you. I know Colonial League is first, but at some point, probably you're going to face Central Catholic in the district playoffs. So your thoughts on seeing them? Have you watched them on TV at all, or watched them on any footage at all, or the internet, or anything out there? Or you've been focused just on Colonial League right now?
I think the last time I saw them was over the summer when we just played them. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time I seen them play.
So you're not even looking
at
them.
He doesn't have cable at his house. It's all...
The one thing I'll know real quick is that when I do the scoring leaders, and that's one of the reasons I'm always like pushing the clock here, crunching my basketball.
You were early today. You were here at 6:56.
They were shocked. They had the door locked. They wouldn't even let me in. I'm out there
they
freezing.
They were watching the parade.
Yeah. But anyway.
He's been cold enough, for God's sake.
The thing about this team and Central and a couple other really good teams is they're very balanced. You don't have a guy in my top 25. And even I think the last, and maybe Martino, but by and large, you love to have balanced offense. You have maybe three or four guys in double figures averaging, but no one is up there, you know, near 20 points a game. And that's the great thing about your offense.
That's a credit to the kids that we've had. You know, on any given night, any one of them could score 25, 30 points, but they're unselfish. And, you know, if Bo scores 20 and Ben doesn't, you know, there's no animosity. And you know, we've been really fortunate that way. The kids, we don't check the box scores.
And they recognize that on the court. I mean, I've seen games in which someone starts getting the hot hand and then everyone's just feeding him the ball. You don't even have to say much.
Yeah, and again, we've been very – Mike Martino, guys like Mike and Alex Colton and those guys, they were real leaders and, you know, passed that down to these guys.
All right. Well, guys, just stay put for a little bit, but when we go to the commercial break, we're going to bring in some of your teammates. Thanks so much for joining us, and continued success to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where he gets to sound off and talk about anything on his sports mind. Chances are he's going to be talking mostly Eagles tonight, but let's find out. Keith, what do you have for
us? Well, I got to say that people have been asking me, was it a thrill of a lifetime to be out there on Sunday night? The whole week was great, but Sunday night in particular was fantastic. And when you think about all the people who live and die with that team, that's the great thing about sports. I mean, we can get away from the bills, the stack of bills on our desk. We can get away from maybe an illness we have or whatever's going on and escape into the world of sports. And for all those Eagles fans, I'm not one and never have been really, but it was great to see it happen for them. And much like the Cubby fans who finally got to celebrate, and much like the Red Sox fans who got to celebrate after all the years of misery there, it's great that the Philadelphia people who are live and die with that team, and let's face it, Phillies are popular, Sixers are popular, Flyers are popular. No one comes close to the popularity of the Philadelphia Eagles. For all those people out there, it was a great, great moment, one I will never forget, and there might be some more coming because they have a very young team and they seem to have a great coach in place.
in some good management in place. So maybe get used to it. Maybe this could be your February thing here to have a big Sunday night followed by a big parade a couple of days later.
And what game was that you were at last Sunday?
The big game.
It's not the you know what. All right, quick shout out to Steve Shifford. He passed along some information too. We heard from Tony Coca about the National Football Foundation. But Steve also wanted me to pass along the Allentown Nike COY Football Clinic will be coming up March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Holiday Inn in Bridingsville. David Akers, who we mentioned earlier, he's going to be one of the speakers, along with Brent Pry from the Penn State football coaching staff, plus a number of other speakers, including representatives from Iowa, Tennessee, Dartmouth, Pitt, Purdue, North Carolina, and the original Remember the Titans players and more. There's a lot more information available at their website, which is NikeCOYFootball.com. Again, the football clinic to be held March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Holiday Inn in Bridingsville. More of tonight's Sports Talk Show is straight ahead. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Glad you could be with us this evening. A lot of high school basketball talk as we get ready for the playoffs, and we'll talk about the playoffs in just a little bit. But first, we want to introduce our special guests for the second half of the program, Saber Singleton and Tony Jones from the Bangor basketball team. And I wanted to ask this question while you guys were here. For people that have not seen Bangor play, it's a fun style of play the last few years. You guys have fun. You guys, as Keith mentioned, you're very diversified in terms of your personnel and how you can score and why you've had success. But what's it like to play Bangor basketball and have so much fun this year?
This year's been different, especially. I mean, last year was, we were moving the ball, shooting threes, and then this year we're running down up and down the court, shooting threes, blocking shots, dunking the ball. So it's been fun and a great transition for the community and student section and us.
Now, do you lead the team on dunks?
I don't know.
Saber, how about you? What's it been like this year?
It's definitely been different from the past years. A much more athletic team than what people are used to seeing. Definitely more exciting games. Tony here, you know, you see him get angry sometimes, and then he'll take over games, and it's really exciting to watch. You know, even on the court, we all get excited for each other, and it's just, I think, outstanding basketball.
I hope I see that next week, Tony getting angry. But doesn't Saber, he's on the all-name team, Saber Singleton.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a phenomenal name. Everybody comments on that. Parents did a nice job, Saber. Well done.
Thanks.
Brown, did you have to be talked into playing up-style basketball this year, or did you know this was coming?
No, you know, every year is different. And last year, we did need to be more methodical. And again, we had a team that played together for a long time, and we needed to slow things down and execute more. This year, you know, we just, as many of my critics say, we just rolled the ball out. But these guys can get up and down the court and make stuff happen. Our defense is our best offense, and you know, we love to get up and down. And we're exciting to watch.
I was just going
to
say that. I mean, the night I saw you up against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame, I think, led the whole first half part of the third quarter, but then you turned it up defensively, and I think Tony and Saber, both, everybody just got moving, and you could see the energy really come from the defensive end, and it led to fast break opportunities and maybe a dunk or two, and then you're on your way. And that seems to be the key for your guys. You know, going as you probably going to meet a team like Notre Dame. You know, Caddy's got the best scorer in the area. You're gonna have to get it done on the defensive end, right, Tony?
Yeah, it creates especially with our height, it creates a lot of problems with Isaiah Graves. He's a great finisher. He showed it against us, and what he had 26. But our defense is what leads to our offense, and defense wins championships, like they say, and that's what we just have to continue to do.
What are your thoughts on the Colonial League? Most of the wins were by double digits, but Notre Dame kept you to 9. Southern Lehigh was a close game. Notre Dame, I think the first time, was an 11-point game. You've seen all these teams now. What are you kind of looking for in the Colonial League? And how would you handicap or talk a little bit about the strengths? Obviously, Caddy with Graves. And what are some of the strengths of the teams that you've seen this year?
Teams definitely always seem to shoot well against us. I guess they're just very excited and want to try to beat us. So they always come into games and shoot very strong, they have great percentages from the field usually. And sometimes we kind of go out and play a little too relaxed when we should play much stronger, much more upbeat. much higher tempo, but we don't, and we end up falling behind. But, you know, we always somehow fight back. And credit to all the other teams, though, for, you know, coming out as strong as they do.
And Sabres, I think, our best. He always plays the other team's best player, so, mm-hmm. you know, he runs cross-country and track. He's got an incredible motor, so he never gets tired. And he does a great job on the other team's best player. And then when you have, you know, somebody like Tony in the back and Bernard and guys like that who can block shots, for a high school kid to get their shot blocked as these guys have blocked shots, it's intimidating. And then they end up dribbling down the floor looking to see who's coming, and that's certainly a big advantage for us.
Who's the toughest guy you defended this year? I know there's some great players in the Colonial League, but who's the toughest matchup for you?
Isaiah Graves was definitely tough. You know, when it comes to blocking shots, he somehow found a way to get it over the shot blocker, mm-hmm. and find it in the basket somehow, and it was just kind of crazy to watch. You know, we have a very athletic team, and he just somehow managed to get by everyone.
How did you match up with, and I'll ask you guys first, because if the seeds go according to with, you know, mm-hmm. if there's no upsets, you're going to play Moravian Academy for the championship next Friday night. Now, you got to take care of business. You got to get a win in the semis, and so does Moravian Academy. But if it comes down to that matchup, tell me about that first game between you guys and Moravian.
That first game, it was crazy. A lot of back and forth with the players and a lot of energy, like, against each other. But it'll be a good game, and we're all looking forward to it.
Now, they have a player, and I believe he's from Bangor, Jordan Holmquist, who is one of the just went over the 1,000-point mark. I think he's averaging about 19.5 a game. Sabre, maybe, did you match up with him the first time?
The first half, I did not, but the second half, I did.
It's because the coach made a horrendous move. We played zone and then got down 11, so I had to get out of that.
But Jordan, he'll pull from anywhere, and that's what makes him strong. Uh-huh. So, and then makes defense out wide, but we just had to play like any other game.
Yeah. But do you guys know him because he's from town there?
Oh, yeah, the kids know him, but no one really, like, it's small, but it's big at the same time.
Right,
like,
right.
But no one really talks to him, I'm pretty sure, not that I know of.
Right.
So he's more of a Moravian Academy guy.
Right. Well, he's doing quite well there, and they're having a nice season. I know Steve Gripalik's a veteran coach, and there's a lot of great rivalries with the coaches in that league, too. I mean, I'm sure you're all friendly after the whistle, before the whistle, but
most of us, most of us. Everybody's competitive, and I play in the Colonial League. I love the Colonial League, and we have some competitive coaches and some coaches that have been around for a long time. You know, Eric Schneider at Caddy's my favorite coach, and, of course, Pat at Notre Dame, and we just have a great group of coaches that do an outstanding job with what they have.
Well, even the guys that were down this year, you know they're going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Weaver at Salisbury, Brownie down there at Saucon Valley, they're going to get their thing going again. But Kenny Termini has done a good job at Pomerton. Jeff Miller had a good year at Northern Lehigh. Hallman's doing a pretty good job at Northwestern. So it's fun. That's a tight-knit league, I think. I think generally an EPC, when they get into districts, they root against each other.
Yeah.
But I always sense that you guys sort of, for the most part, pull for each other as you go forward into the districts. And, of course, this league spreads out from 2A to 5A.
That's the first thing I noticed when I became the athletic director. I was amazed how all the ADs in our league really look out for all the other schools. And that's I don't know if you have that everywhere.
No, it's not everywhere.
And that's certainly we always root for other teams and other sports from our league when they play outside of our league.
Don't want to forget Mike Glovis, and he's done a really good job. Another former outstanding player in his own right, and he's done a really nice job. I didn't expect Wilson to be where they're at. Of course, I think there's somebody came in from like Slovakia or something. That helped them a little bit. But they've had a
Mike
nice
has team. A lot of money. You know, he recruits overseas.
The Warriors have done a really nice job too, though, right?
Mike does a great job. I'm good friends with him, and I was excited when he got the position because I knew what a great job he would do, but I was also concerned because, you know, they're one of the teams to beat now in the playoffs, and really, we've always had great rivalries with Wilson, so it's great to see someone take over for Coach Frankenfield that's going to do a great job.
Did you give credit to Ben Tanis, too, since you're Ripping Southern Lee. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, since you excluded them from your predictions. Mm-hmm. Tony, you know, we're talking about offense, too, and we asked Sabre about who's the toughest matchup. Who was the toughest defender that you had to face this year?
Defender? Well, I don't know.
Or a toughest team, the team that really slowed you down. And then slowed you down as much as they could.
Tony seems to play better against the better competition. Yeah. Like Freedom, he had an outstanding game.
I'm not really looking forward to the score. And the team's stopping me. We have Ben, we have Bo, we have Sabre. I don't really care who's guarding me because I just go out and play the same game I've been playing.
All right, our special guests, Sabre Singleton, Tony Jones joining Bron Holland, and members of the Bangor boys basketball team. We'll take our final break of the evening and be back with some more thoughts about their season and their success and the road ahead. More sports talk coming your way in just a minute. Final few minutes of tonight's RCN Sports Talk show presented by The Morning Call. Don't forget, we'll have some great high school basketball playoffs coming your way. Check the RCN TV website for our schedule coming up. That's rcn.com/RCNTV. Next week, we will be live again here in the studio. We'll have some special guests, Joe Jarjuice, Megan Delgrati, who just got married. She just got married. She has a new last name here. So Megan Delgrati, whatever her new name is, will be here next week, along with Kyle Hutnick. They will be here to talk about the regular season and also give their thoughts on the Colonial League and EPC boys and championship games that will be played on Friday next week, weather permitting next Friday. So join us next Thursday for that show, our league championship preview show featuring those three special basketball insiders.
Speaking of Joe Jarjuice, I'm doing my feature tomorrow is on Roy Urlata, who just...
Oh, great scorekeeper.
As we speak tonight, I think Derv's playing Liberty. He's ending his 50th season as Derv's scorekeeper, so well-deserved there. And you got your own legend up there, the voice of the Slaters, and I like him because he's the only guy that mentions the print media at these games. Mr. Pete now.
Yeah, he's the best. I mean, whenever you need something, Pete's always there. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets food in the press box for football games, for the media. He gets mad when everybody else eats it, but he's everywhere. He works cross-country meets. We even have him doing wrestling, pay announcing now. He's not that great at it. I don't want to hurt Pete's feelings. But anything you need, he's there. He got inducted into our Hall of Fame as a contributor last year, which was well-deserved, and Pete, he's excitable, especially at softball games, and his blood pressure gets up there, but just a great guy.
And as you know why I like him, because he got me to DT's for the first time. And yeah. You told me, I was so excited. Bron, I got a gift card from DT's. Says, Keith, don't get too excited. It's probably $2 on it. Well, wait. Actually, there was 25, and we had a nice dinner, the wife and I. So thank you, Pete, the voice of the Slaters, and that's why I brought him up.
Well, who gave him the hoagies when he went up there?
Oh, you
for his
he
preview.
Did.
You
he
got
did.
The hoagies?
Just during my tour.
It was a scrimmage, yeah.
It wasn't for me, but I mean, yeah, it was.
Well, I was ready to read the Morning Call and dive in for some great insights from Keith. And I went up to Bangor and I got hoagies and sodas and this and that, and no basketball insights there.
I want to say this
I
as well.
I hope Blouse isn't watching because we don't give him anything.
I want to say I want to say this as well. What a great refreshment stand they have at Bangor as well. Maybe the best.
Now you're going to get three hoagies.
The best in the area. Barbecue, top notch. Hey, I love it.
Can I ask these guys a question?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you guys about Central Catholic. Tony, I know you know some people at Central. Yeah. And I don't want to look too far ahead. But, I mean, I think in 5A, I'm really excited about a potential Bangor Central Catholic matchup. What are your thoughts on potentially seeing the Vikings?
I mean, me and Jay and Key, we all played on the state in Jordan. Yeah. Played on the same AAU team. So, I mean, all season we've been saying district championship, we're going to go head-to-head. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quiet talk with just us, but I'm really excited. Hopefully everything goes out planned and we continue to play and they continue to play hard, mm-hmm. and we meet up and then go from there.
Of course, I do remember, I'm old enough to remember one other Central Catholic Bangor district title game. I believe the year was 1988, Stabler Arena. This fella right here against Billy McCaffrey. McCaffrey had a lot of points.
Billy the Kid.
But the big guy brought back the championship, and that's the last time I think the Bangors won. So 1988, hey, has a nice symmetry to it. How many years is that?
I like it.
30 years, 30, right?
Yeah.
I'm not good in the math.
Yeah, we're having our 30-year anniversary, 30-year reunion.
So obviously that's going to be, we're going to bring that one back with a little flashback there if that happens. That would be a lot of fun.
That was a great night. Stabler Arena was packed. Again, yeah. We had So many Bangor fans there.
That was a nice venue for games, too.
I
kind of missed that place.
Yeah. Coach Schlosser called us a one-man team. When I see him, I still bust him about that. And Farmers, I think we were called. So all of our people showed up in bib overhaul, which they wear anyway, but work boots. And so they were in their comfort zone that night.
Saber, could you talk about, because you've played Stroudsburg, you've played Easton, Freedom, you've played bigger schools. Do you think that kind of preparation and facing those bigger teams is going to help you down the road for the districts and potentially state playoffs?
I definitely think it will, because, you know, the challenge that the EPC teams bring to us is definitely different than some of the Colonial League teams bring to us. So, you know, I think it's definitely going to help going down the road.
Yeah, how bad do you want this district? I mean, look, the league is going to be great. You won another one. You're a little different there because you're expected to win. District, a lot of people are going to doubt you. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are going to doubt. They're going to pick Central. They're going to be the favorite, and probably. They've been ranked in the state all year. You guys are still mentioned as another team to watch, but how much would that mean to your community and your program?
I think it'd mean a lot. You know, personally, I love being doubted because I love going in and proving everyone wrong and proving that we're better than what people think. So, you know, I think being doubted, especially for us and our team, would be a good thing.
Now, Keith, you got to drum them up a little bit more. As the official grand poobah here, you got to give them some more publicity in the Lehigh Valley.
No, they are serious.
They deserve some more publicity.
He gives us plenty of publicity.
I love Bangor, and I wish we had.
You got to use your pool. Get some more.
They win. I always tell people, you want publicity, win. And win the big games. You'll get publicity.
All right. Well, we're going to be expecting a lot more winning from the Bangor basketball team. Bron, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for your players
for being here as well. And we're looking forward to the championship. Again, don't want to jinx you, but we're looking forward to seeing you next Friday night for that Colonial League championship. Our thanks to Bron, Ben Holland, Bo Myers, Saber Singleton, and Tony Jones for joining us. And again, we'll be back with another live edition of Sports Talk next week, previewing the Colonial League and EPC Girls and Boys Championship games. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.